The spiritual gifts that God gives us are designed for the body of Christ so that we can all come into the fullness of what he's planned for each of us. And this afternoon I kept crying out to the Lord, and he told me to go to a particular place in this book this afternoon. And I want to share with you a little bit of what he wants us to, let's say, concentrate on a little bit. And to recognize that there are things that happen to us that we cannot comprehend, but the Bible has the answers. And later on we're going to go to John chapter 3, and it's the trigger for this particular word. In John chapter 1, verse 23, John the Baptist said, "I am the voice of one crying." He did not merely speak a prophetic word. He gave expression to the feelings of the Lord in relations to the word spoken. Our coming to truly know the Lord goes beyond information about him to our entering into an intimacy of relationship with him, in which he shares his feelings and his thoughts with us. During my time at the funeral, the second night that we slept in Vermont, the Lord gave me a dream, and it was an intense dream. In fact, I worked all night in this dream. I don't know how long it lasted, but it sure felt like it was a long dream. And I was making sandwiches. Now, get a load of this. There was hardly no meat. So I would put a very thin slice, not even a full slice of cold cuts, you know, like a ham or a little piece of roast beef or a little tiny piece of cheese. And I have perception, and I'm just slapping one on top of the other, and they're going one after another, and I'm making sandwiches, and I'm getting tired, and I'm saying, "God, you know, how come we ain't got no food here to make decent sandwiches?" Anybody got a clue? And then the weirdest part is I have perception that Irene has purchased some, and it's all in the refrigerator. So I go over to the refrigerator, and I open the door, and there it is. There's a stack of cold cuts. And I thought, why didn't they give me the stack of cold cuts so I could make decent sandwiches? But some of them only had mayo in them. You know, two slices of bread, and a little mayo, and nothing else. And I thought, oh my God, okay, Lord, well, whatever. And then somebody says to me, "Go out there into that other room. There's a bread there for you." Well, now, can you imagine? Only in a dream can you do this. The bread is from here to the back of the room. It's at least 20 feet. And it's about yay big, which means about a foot square. And it's very well high. You know, it's got a lot of yeast in it, and it's good stuff. And the plastic bag that it's contained in, I know that it's all one piece. So I grab it like a garden hose, and I put it over my shoulder, and I'm dragging it. And I'm tired. In the dream, saying, "Oh my God, all this bread!" And that's going around corners, and this thing is just dragging behind me. And I wake up. So, of course, I told Claude about it. He's all excited. He's jumping up and down. "Yay!" he says, "You're going to give him some bread." Oh, well, okay, Lord. I guess I'm going to give him bread. And then I started to laugh, and I could remember it. I could literally see myself putting little tiny pieces of meat inside the slices. Well, obviously, on Saturday, I ministered to I don't know how many people. And I was giving them bread, obviously. And for one individual, I gave him a sandwich. And he chewed on it. He had injured his right arm. He is from Cuba. And I've known him now for a little while. And he has children in Cuba, so he's got a lot of difficulties. He's married to one of my brother's daughters. And they're very happy together, but he hurt himself, and he said the doctors told him it's carpal tunnel. Well, he can't take time off because he's got to send money every week or every other week or whatever the arrangements are. He says, I can't take time off. And he says, this isn't getting any better. And I says, well, how long has this been going on? He says, about 5 months. So I went to reach for oil, and I had no oil in my pocket. I thought that was, okay, Lord, we're going to go without oil. And so then he says to me that my brother gave him a bottle of oil. He says, I've been anointing it. I said, okay, well, we'll pray. So I kind of went to the side with him, and we were in a room with a lot of activity in the place. And obviously laid hands on the arm. The Lord showed me to pull some stuff out, and I did. Well, when I let go of his hand was sopping wet. The fire of God was in the arm and in the hand. And he says, oh, it feels so odd. And so, to God be the glory, I believe he's one of those that got a little bit of meat. Why am I saying all this? Because sometimes we think that we have dreams that don't make sense. But I'll be honest with you, everything made sense with the Lord. So, St. John the Baptist was saying, I am the voice of one crying. Sometimes you're going to have emotions when you pray for people. Sometimes those emotions are ignited by the Holy Ghost. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, the fellowship of his sufferings is to recognize that there are seasons in your life that you can't change somebody else, but you're going to feel the presence of God sustaining you, but an awareness of the suffering that is real going on, not only in them, but in you as well. And you wish you could take the pain away. But you can't. That is sometimes how you will feel. The fellowship of his suffering speaks of our coming into a prophetic identity with the hurt or the heart intent and feelings of the Lord. We are to become vessels through whom the Lord may express himself as he desires. This involves our going beyond the realm of the knowledge and the giftings to come into a personal experiential identity with Jesus. That this thought and desires, that his thoughts and desires might find expressions through us, the voice of one crying. You say, well, what does that have to do with the apples that I'm picking? I'll give you an example. Number one, many years ago, when Irene was actually in Mercy Hospital having her breast removed from cancer, while I left her in the operating room entrance, gave her a kiss and I said, I'm going to church. And I drove to Grace, and there was a Tuesday noon service. At the end of the service, a lady that I had known for about five or six years came to me at the end of the service and said, Kim, would you anoint me with oil? I have an inoperable cancerous tumor in my liver, and they can't do anything about it. And I began to weep. I was fellowshipping in the brokenness of the heart that happens in the Lord when he sees someone suffering. And as the tears are rolling out of my eyes, because she has no clue about Irene, she has zero information, and I didn't tell anybody. And as the tears are rolling out of my eyes, because I want the miracle for the one that's in the operating room, and we have done all we know how to do. But I anointed this lady with oil, and as the tears were flowing, commanded this cancer to dry up and release its intent and to get out of there and never to return. And when I went to the operating, or the waiting room next to the operating room, The doctor came out and said, well, we had to do a radical cleanup. And she's going to be okay, but she's going to have chemo. And we literally scrubbed her chest muscles with a wire brush. So he says she's going to be extremely sore because it had already grabbed in between the tissues of the muscles and in the edge of her arm and underneath her arm. There were several lymph glands that he removed. Needless to say, there were many tears flowing. And I rejoiced and gave thanks that God had spared her. Now, the following week, I'm back on Tuesday service. And this lady got up and said, Tim, I'd like to give a testimony. And I said, yes. She said, I had an x-ray done yesterday, and they called me today, and they can't find the tumor. And I am going to live. How many know I had a headache? Why one in one direction and why the other in the other? He's sovereign. I learned later, many years later, that Irene was the chosen vessel to literally go and pray with many cancer patients. And she was anointed with the compassion of the Lord and the sufferings of our Savior, knowing what He had allowed her to taste, so that she could become one crying in the wilderness, because she knew what it would mean to have somebody cry with her, because many cried with her. When she went through the recovery, it was very difficult. We had miracles during the times of the chemo. We've been 52 years married. We're going on 53. And God's not finished with us yet. Amen. Why am I saying this? Because sometimes you are allowed to go through the fellowship of His suffering. And you know what? It stinks! But it is of the Lord. Try it on. Say that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection.
And the power of His resurrection.
And the fellowship of His suffering.
And the fellowship of His suffering.
Philippians 3:10.
Philippians 3:10.
Say, I'm not alone.
I'm not alone.
When I suffer.
When I suffer.
My Savior's with me.
My Savior's with
me. And He's got a plan.
And He's got a plan.
For me.
For me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the fellowship of His suffering speaks of our coming into a prophetic identity with the heart, intent, and feelings of the Lord. We are to become vessels through whom the Lord may express Himself as He desires. This involves our going beyond the realm of the knowledge and the giftings to come into a personal, get a load of this word, experiential identity with Jesus. That His thoughts and desires might find expressions through me, the One. The voice of one crying. These are five levels of prophetic, there are five levels of prophetic development and activity in our spiritual life experience. Inner revelation. My soul clings to the dust. Quicken you me according to your word. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Quicken you me according to your word. We were formed from dust. As being dust, there is no order or structure within us to enable us to function in spiritual things. We must be lifted above the earthly. Quicken me according to your word. This word quicken means life empowering. That having been generated out of the flesh is flesh. that having been generated out of the flesh is flesh, and that having been generated out of the Spirit is spirit. Do not wonder because I said to you, you must be generated from above or born again. The Spirit breathes where He desires, and you hear His voice, but you do not know from where He comes and where He goes. So is everyone who is having been generated from the Spirit. That's John 3, verses 6 through 8. And it's from the literal translation. To be quickened is the first level of inner revelation, which comes through the lifting power of the Holy Spirit. Being born again is far more than being saved. It means that we have been lifted above the earthly into the realm of the Spirit. We become airborne. You want to know how God is so intense and He doesn't miss a trick? Are you ready for this one? Mary Ann, less than 20 minutes ago, or half an hour ago, had a word for me because I heard in my heart she needs to anoint you. She says, Kim, I see a vision. It's you. And you will be dancing your wife. Not life, wife. In the heavenlies. Did you hear that one? You will dance your wife in the heavenlies. And she says she saw us dancing in the clouds. Now she has no clue about this message because I didn't give it yet. Are you listening? To be quickened is the first level of inner revelation, which comes through the lifting power of the Holy Spirit. Being born again is far more than being saved. It means that we have been lifted above the earthly into the realm of the Spirit. We are and become airborne. The Lord wakens our spirit morning by morning as He lifts us into the realm of prophetic awareness and vision. We become spiritually sensitive and perceptive to His presence. As we respond, our spiritual capacity will be enlarged. Number two, our testimony. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man ministers, let him do so as of the ability which God gives. 1 Peter 4:11. An oracle is a divine communication. This means that the word we speak on behalf of the Lord must be both a quickened and imparted word, not our own words or thoughts. It is not through the letter of the word that spiritual life is conveyed, but rather through the anointing, the lifting power of the Holy Spirit. Words are understood by the image that they convey. If I say bicycle, an image immediately forms, and the sound is understood. However, there are no images for the words spirit and life. A true prophetic word goes beyond any mental image of the words being spoken and impart spirit of life, spirit and life. Thus, it is very important that the prophetic word is both anointed and imparted into the spirit of those who listen. When God gives you a thing to do or a commission, you may not know the results of what you have done for years to come. Sunday morning, I watched my grandson and his wife be baptized in water and die to self. After this ceremony was done, they served lunch. A lady was sitting across from me. She says, "Your name is Kim, isn't it?" Her husband says, "Of course." And so he says, "A lot of people know Kim." I don't know his name, but he knows me. So that was kind of cool. And then the lady to my right says, that is very strange. Did you say your name was Kim? I said, yeah. I said, but he knows me better than me. And she says, I've been looking for you. I says, you have? And so she says, weren't you involved with some people and didn't you have a prayer group in Three Rivers? I says, yes. Well, she says, this is about 85. I don't know. She says, somewhere's in there. I went there with my friend. She says, and I was anointed with oil. And she says, my body went in that direction and my shoes went on that wall. And she says, then you came over and you placed your hand behind my head, in my neck. And she says, I was delivered and set free. And I've been wanting to say thank you for all these years. I said, well, you're quite welcome. I didn't do anything to it. I said, that was God's doing. Yeah, she says, I've been looking for you. I said, well, I guess you weren't supposed to find me. I hope you found him. And we laughed. That woman's been set free, and I had nothing to do with it. Yet God used me. And she'd been trying to say thank you for 36 years. Sorry, 31 years, rather. The numbers are not important. But it was God's planting his seed of freedom in this woman. And today, she's free. Do I remember her name? I don't need to. All I need to know is I know a little bit about compassion and grace, a lot about mercy, and a lot about love. Close your eyes. Put your hand over your heart. Hey, Lord.
Lord.
I'm a good pupil.
I'm a good pupil.
I can learn.
I can learn.
That I can be used.
That I can be used.
Just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus.
Just like John the Baptist.
Just like John the Baptist.
Just like Kim.
Just like Kim.
To release grace.
To release grace.
And healing.
And healing.
To those who are broken.
To those that are broken.
Like I was.
Like I was.
And on the day appointed.
And the day appointed.
To obey what the Spirit of God.
To obey what the Spirit of God.
Tells me to do.
Tells me to do.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.